This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
Brush out your cigarette, let's get you home. Barrooms are no place for slumber. Nights such as this are spent better alone. What did you do with the waitress's number?
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to every corner of the globe, to fans everywhere, to all souls on this blue planet of ours seeking enlightenment, seeking that lighthouse in the fog, a beacon of knowledge, experience, and truth. Coming to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, here in Fort Worth, Texas, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth. How you doing, fans? Welcome to another edition of the P2 Podcast here. We've been out there at the front lines playing shows, recording, working through things, scratching our head as we look at our iTunes download numbers, wondering what has gone wrong, and so much more. And we're passing it all to you, all on to you, all this knowledge, all this experience, maybe more questions than answers ultimately, but sometimes it's the questions that lead us forth. That's what we seek to do here on the podcast. Thrilled to have you here, folks. Thrilled to have you with us as always. Phil Pritchett here. Delighted. Well, 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 what do you have for us on the program today, Phil? Oh, man, very excited. We have had our good friend Rodney Parker from Rodney Parker and the 50 Peso Reward dropping by. He was here last week talking about his love of REM and oh, so much more. Radiohead, how he got started in the business, etc. He will be joining us here a little bit later on in our middle segment, our guest segment. So look forward to that. Rodney Parker joining us. And then to just round it all out in the vault here, I think we're going to go ahead and look at some early Radiohead. Also, brace yourselves, country music lovers out there. Brace yourselves. It's all coming to you. You'll be all the smarter for it, the more enlightened. Oh, they're a great band. And a Rodney Parker favorite, so we're going to take a look at some early Radiohead in the vault. Well, here in the top section, I saw this in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago. You're down at the bottom of the front page there. They usually have kind of a unique human interest type story. This really caught my attention. The headline reads, in, quote, Chap Hop, gentlemen rappers bust rhymes about tea, cricket. It's got this picture of this guy with a big pipe, a pith helmet, holding a glass of tea. Just like in hip-hop, British MCs feud over styles, waistcoat versus pith helmet. This is a new craze, new thing going on in overseas, over in the UK, Brighton, England. They have created Chap Hop. Hello, chap. Fussing American urban musical genre with the imagined lifestyle of the British upper classes. And this coastal town with its candy-colored Victorian villas and seafront promenade is the setting for the latest hip-hop feud. These two guys have gotten together. I don't know if they're together on this. It's not really clear. You got these two guys. You've got a Professor Elemental. He's the guy in the pith helmet. And then you've got this other guy, Mr. B, the gentleman rapper. Mr. B plays a ukulele and has a waxed handlebar mustache. And Professor Elemental has a pith helmet and a tee in the curvy pipe. You can go on YouTube and type in Chap Hop. Now, I'm going to warn you here. I laughed really hard reading this article because the idea of it is a lot more funny than probably the actual, all the actual videos and stuff, although they're quite funny. So go look up Chap Hop on YouTube, you know, and the whole thing they've got going on, which is kind of fun, is it's the feud. They talk about, the guy talks in the article about how important the feud is to hip hop, you know, that's just what drives, you know, the creative juices of these guys. So they're arguing about, you know, different ways to dress, different kinds of tea, hip hop. It just got me to thinking, you know, that I've always been obsessed with all things British. All things in British culture, can't get enough of it. As a young boy, my mom tells a story about how I walked in, I was like 3 years old, in a pretty passable English accent. I said, "Hello, Mom, welcome to Soccer Locker." And there was this show came on like early Saturday mornings called Soccer Locker, hosted by some British guy. And I remember just the accent, always being just in love with the whole British thing. The accent, of course, man, huge into British music. The Beatles, watching those Beatles movies that you can't hardly even understand what they're talking about, you know. Just, what are you doing there, love? I just loved it, man. Loved Monty Python, Benny Hill. I just am obsessed with British culture, you know? I don't know if that was, but I feel like everybody was. All my friends were. We were all really into Monty Python and Benny Hill, all that stuff. Of course, all the British rock and roll, just Zeppelin, Stones, Beatles, etc. And so anyway, this caught my attention. The Chap Hop. so you got, let's see what it says here. Oh, this caught my attention too. So they go around and play these guys. You got Mr. B, the gentleman rhymer, with the wax mustache and the ukulele. And then the other guy, you know, he's rapping about, you know, the professor. Let's see. When they go on stage, they're mixing tracks using two 1930s Picnic gramophones playing 78 RPM swing records. The process is laborious, requiring the phonographs to be wound and the needle to be changed for each record. No easy task, especially while holding a martini. Boy, that just puts all you analog guys out there, it's man, record to analog tape, man. We don't use analog. These guys are taking it a whole new direction. Changing the needle, playing to tracks on stage with 78s, you know, a gramophone. That's just extreme. Why do they keep that stuff running, man? Gosh, I can't keep my new gear working. Wonder how I'd get on stage and work with some of that stuff. Crikey. What Chap Hop has done is taking something as intrinsically American as rap and made it English, he says. Fascinating stuff. Chap Hop. Check it out, man. Check out some Chap Hop. You know, another point of British, dare I say, superiority in some ways. Man, The Office. I'm not going to say I don't like it. Oh my gosh, though. It's just so... That show gets so much acclaim early on, deservedly so, maybe. But, dude, have you ever seen the Ricky Gervais, the original Office, BBC? If you've never seen it, go rent the first season. Is there one season or two seasons? There wasn't that many seasons. Just a few episodes, maybe 10 or 12 or 15 or something like that. And, man, because that was the first thing I ever saw was the British Office. Ricky Gervais is the, you know, the head guy, the Michael, you know. And, dude, it is just so gut-wrenchingly hilarious. And his whole, it's over-the-top hilarious. And I just loved that. So I was a little kind of like, you know, when the American one was coming out. And it was good, but golly, man. The Americans just fall into so many traps of just over-the-top, just unbelievable situations, just... I don't know, Michael spends a whole episode pretending he's a plant or something. It's just like, that would never really happen. And I don't know. The British, I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not British, so I don't understand. But there's an element of belief in some of that stuff, in those Office episodes of the Ricky Gervais. I just loved it, man. So I always thought that the American Office just paled in comparison. People always say, man, how do you just not like that show, man? It's so funny. I'm just like, it's okay. It's all right, I would say, you know. And, of course, it always, you know, just turns into some big love story, some love saga, plot lines. Jim is dating the secretary. all well and good, but not just brutal, you know, pranky Brit humor that I loved in the BBC version. So I don't know what that says about me, man. I'm kind of a aficionado for the British. Hold out hope, you know. Well, what else we got? What else we got? Oh, man, the full band had a triumphant return to Beaumont, Texas. Yes, our beloved Beaumont. Oh, man, a town that's tough on bands. Am I right? Bands, all you guys out there played gigs down there in Beaumont. All of our success in Beaumont can be attributed to one person down there, Jamie Talbert. Y'all know Jamie Talbert. I produced his record. He started coming to the shows, and his band would open for us. I mean, he was just a man about town, a guy everybody knew, so he'd open our shows and spread the word about the band. To this day, he opened the show the other night, so got the word out. So thank you very much, Jamie. God, I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time, some of those Beaumont folks. We used to go down there and do quite well at Antone's. Alas, it's no longer Antone's anymore. It's called The Gig. We didn't play there. We played next door at Tequila Rock. Great place. Nice people. You know, I shuddered. They emailed me, and I don't go out actively looking for new places to play, new bars very much. I don't call. If they call me, and then I say, well, you know, sure. Give me this and we'll show up. That's what I say. But it worked out great, man. Had a great show. Great big patio out there. Stage. Good sound. Very, very fun. And boy, I tell you, it's tough getting from here to Beaumont, though, man. I drove down north of Houston. I go, man, I'm not going to go through Houston, obviously. So I cut over on 105 out of Conroe. Ah, huge mistake. Huge. What a beat down, dude. That traffic is tough, dude. It's a little bit difficult to get out to Lubbock and Amarillo. But here, I live in Fort Worth, kind of the west side of Fort Worth. Man, you get on I-20 and start driving, there's nothing there. Free sailing, man. You're just going 75, or in my case, as my band would tell you, 65, all the way to Lubbock, free and clear. But, man, you try to go south from Fort Worth, you know, through Waco and Austin, or you try to go kind of southeast towards Houston, or east from Fort Worth through Dallas, boy, you're just dead in every direction. Even north from Fort Worth, oh, man, you get up there by the racetrack and all that, it's just a beating. So, man, it's like just the years go by, I just realize, I'm like, man, I used to leave like 3 o'clock for this gig down here. Now I'm just leaving like 11:30 in the morning, 11, man, let's meet at 10, you know. So Blue went down there with us on bass. Our man John Losinger playing drums. Been playing some gigs with us, a friend of ours up here, good friend of Blues, played with Jordan McCoskey's band. So drums, you know, kind of shaking up the lineup of the full band a little bit. Stuart Wiley is doing a lot of work. Been my drummer, the full band for the last 4 years, but, you know, married, got a kid. What are you going to do, Phil? What are you going to do? So, man, we're working in some other dudes, so look for that, man. Some new faces in the full band from time to time. Although, thank goodness, didn't look like Blues going anywhere. He's loving it, man, laying down the bass, singing those harmonies. Oh, just the rock of the full band these days, man. Thank you, Blue, and thank you, Beaumont, for just a wonderful night the other night, man. So much fun, so much fun. Well, 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 I hear a lurking, a rustling out here at Trinidad World Recording out here in the hall. That can only mean one thing, that our good friend Rodney Parker has come to call, has come to sit on the IKEA sofa here at the Trinidad World Recording Studios for the podcast to lend his opinion, to talk about what he's working on, where he's been, where he is going. And, man, we're already getting a lot of steam up for this REM thing we're going to do. I'm broadcasting about it because that's the only way I will hold myself to do it. Me and Rodney, last week talked about doing an EP, you know, doing 3, 4, 5 old REM songs, he and I, maybe some combination of the full band and the 50 peso reward, you know, throwing it on iTunes and some other places and just having some fun with it. So text me, email me rather, phil@philpritchett.com, or text me, call me, 817-733-5256 with the title of an REM song that would be good for us to do, a little REM retrospective / tribute. So look forward to that. We'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. Well, stay tuned, folks. In our next segment, Rodney Parker will be here to talk with us. Much tougher. Yes, you want to. You want Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in high-definition audio, or something quite like it, whatever that is, to every corner of the globe, to all you enlightened souls out there seeking some sort of guidance in these chaotic musical times. What does it all mean, Phil? Well, I can tell you I've been out there recording and playing gigs out at the front lines. I am now back with the news. Also back with me is none other than the great Rodney Parker.
Hello, hello, hello.
Joining us last week as well. He's come back for more here. We had so much going on last week, talking about eating chicken fried steaks and REM. And man, talking about how you've, of course, no artist is ever comfortable hearing this, you know, like, oh, geez. All you're thinking about is how crappy your last gig was. But let me tell you what, man, you and your band, Rodney Parker and the 50 Peso Reward, has gotten a significant toehold out there. Anybody who listens to the podcast knows that Parker and his band has got it going on, rocking out, doing something a little different, something creative, something cool, covering Springsteen. When y'all do it at Atlantic City, how'd that come about?
Yeah, we just have always played it.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of glad that I didn't think about it before we recorded it, because people are always like, man, weren't you scared covering the Boss? Like, dude,
yeah.
I never really thought about it. I was like, oh, we'll try it.
Before we knew that we were really treading on sacred ground, it was already done.
I probably would have chickened out if I would have thought about it much, but
yeah,
I never.
You know. So Springsteen, man. Well, how does your something we songwriters always get asked is, man, how do you write songs? You know, and as I always answer it that I said, man, let me put it this way. I don't have a lot of poetry laying around, and I'm just like, well, if I only had some songs, you know, if I only had some music, you know, like you like the lyrics first, I said, man, I've always got some tune or some, it can even be an idea, Fleetwood Mac, or just, man, this is my Fleetwood Mac song, or, you know what I mean?
And you
kind of said the same thing at lunch. I thought that was interesting. You kind of the same way?
Yeah, I think one time.
Lyrics come last.
Uh-huh. I think one time I wrote lyrics first, and it didn't, you know, it ended up being a song that we recorded and stuff, but it's not very good. It's so wordy, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like there were so many words. And at the end, like,
stream of conscious prose. Yeah. Hard to fit into a 3-chord song.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So now, I always just kind of have either a tune or, like you said, an idea. Like, I want, you know, this, you know, moody ballad that has this sort of feel, you know, not unlike some other song that I've heard recently. Or
right.
And then I'll just kind of try to do that. And lyrics always come last, you know?
Yeah. Now, you said, I was surprised you. You said you didn't feel like you wrote a lot, or you don't feel like that?
I know. I feel like it takes me a really long time, you know, to write songs. And I feel like, you know, sort of strangely, I guess, for having this be my job, but I don't feel like I'm particularly good at it.
Disciplined, maybe? I mean,
I'm disciplined, but
doesn't come easy.
It doesn't come easy, and I think
you know, wake up in the middle of the night and just write it down,
and
go back to sleep, and wake up the next morning, and go, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, I don't really think that I'm at all, you know, that good of a songwriter. It's just that I'll work on a tune forever, you know. So sometimes I'll get good stuff that way, but it's not like I can just be like, oh, well, I got an hour, I'll just sit down and write, you know, something awesome. Doesn't work like that.
Do you always write on guitar? Do you write on piano sometimes? Do you ever play piano?
I'm not that much. You know, I can play a little bit of piano, but not well enough to write. I've always wanted to get better at it, so because I've heard songwriters say, you know, that you write differently if you're right on piano.
I think that's true. I've heard guys say that.
Yeah, and you're a good piano player, aren't you?
No, not good, but I will go over there and sometimes I'll dial up just a weird sound, you know, just like an electric piano with a flange on it, just kind of then G, C, and D kind of sound different, you know. You're kind of like, huh, whoa, you know, like that could be the intro of a song like that. And it is a little different because you do.
pick up that guitar, you tune it the same way, and you
yeah.
you strum a G and kind of go, okay.
Yeah, where do you go from here? Here's my open G chord.
That's right.
It's so, like, what now?
What now? Yeah, you always start with that open G, man. Just like, okay.
Why is that it's the go-to chord?
I don't know,
anytime
man.
Somebody picks up an acoustic guitar, that's the first chord.
It is. It is, man. I'd be horrified sometime to get in the studio back here with a jazz band or somebody who really knew some theory and stuff. Because, uh-huh. Man, I got, you know, some guy, what we love to do here is if somebody, you know, comes in with their guitar and their songs, because I'm a guitar player, I can sit there and with a bass and just and I know GC. I can watch what he's playing and I can mm-hmm. I can feel the B minor coming, you know, at some point. And I can play bass a lot. And you know, someone who comes in can get a lot of mileage out of. You know, like a lot of times guys are worried about, I got to teach somebody the song, or I got to bring right. in a bass player, I got to write charts. I'm like, no, dude, you just sit there and play it. I might be a step behind you and make some mistakes, but then I'll go back and
fix it.
But I think that's a good advantage to writing songs or being in the studio, is just being able to. Yeah, know what those chords look like on different instruments.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah,
you know.
I agree.
But you don't write on anything else besides guitar?
No, I don't. It's just kind of, you know, sitting in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. Know. Do you have a place you write at the same time?
Usually late at night.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I've tried to, you know, I've tried in the past, like, oh, well, I'll just...
8 o'clock, time to write a song.
You know, so I can't. I'll just stare at the page, you know? And they're like,
your band always telling you, man, you know, when are you going to write some new songs?
Yeah,
man?
Yeah. And it's not for lack of trying. It's just, it takes me a long time. And it's not a process that I really enjoy at all. I hate doing it. I don't know if you enjoy it. I like it.
That's
when
interesting.
It's done.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I like the finished tune,
yeah.
But like the process of writing is, I find extremely frustrating. I don't know yeah. if it's the same for you or not.
Man, I don't know. What are you interviewing me now? What is that?
Yeah, I'm turning around on you.
Oh man, I don't know. That's a good question. Do I enjoy it? I think I enjoy it. I think I enjoy it.
Yeah.
To some degree. But I know what you mean. There's a frustrating part of it.
Yeah.
I just end up with so much. I was telling you just. You know, having a lot of some recording tools at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. It used to be, yeah, man, you'd work it. I mean, I'd write on every verse on a notepad. Man, I need a third verse. I'd write it, and I'd learn it on this. I'd get all geared up for the studio mm-hmm. to go in there so I knew my stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I'll start recording. I'll record some great drum sounds, and I'll have 4 minutes of that. And then I'll do a cool bass line for 4 minutes and guitar. I'm like, man, it's sounding great. And then I'll kind of just go blah, 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 just blah, blah on the vocals. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I need to write some words for this. You know, it's got the cool chorus. And I kind of work backwards almost.
Yeah.
I start with the master and just work backwards to the fizzle. As a result, nothing ever gets written down. I used to have all these spirals full of lyrics, and mm-hmm. now the lyrics, I'll just kind of sing them. I'll go back at the top. I'll just say, I'll rhyme that with this, or I don't know. It kind of happens on the fly.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think having the studio has definitely affected the way I write.
I would imagine.
For sure. Yeah.
You know.
Well, maybe I'll look at. You got to get you a little Casio keyboard with some. Or a little laptop you just carry around, just get some little weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
It might kind of jar some different part of your brain.
Probably a good idea.
You know?
I'd like to...
kind of get in a rut, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to get a keyboard and just sort of try at least one song. Like, I want to write this song on this instrument, you know?
Yeah. I started doing the producing deal, and I wasn't a keyboard player. I had the chords on the piano, but it came from just faking bass lines or cello.
Uh-huh.
Like, man, we just need a... And so man, where's C, where's D? They just go do 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 do. And I got to where I could just with one finger pretty much start playing through stuff, and then I'd gradually go, oh, this is a chord here, and then I go to the minor that's here, and then you kinda correct it MIDI or so. Yeah, but you kinda get to where on next thing you know, you're kinda using two hands and you're playing a semi-competent sounding piano
like
part.
Hack.
my favorite though is I've really gotten into the organ, the B3, because it's all about, you know, the spinning speaker mm-hmm. and the tone and sloppiness is cool. It's slide.
It's not unlike an electric guitar.
Yeah, it's kind of just like sliding your hand, just playing fun. I mean, the organ's kind of, if you miss a note, you don't really hear, unless you're just holding really long chords and things, but
I like how percussive it is too. Like
exactly, yeah. Know. That's a big part of it too, which I like. You're just beating on it.
Mm-hmm.
You need your notes in there, but it's there's more leeway there.
Oh sure.
I love the band the Jayhawks. You like the Jayhawks?
Yeah, of course.
Love Jayhawks, and their lead singer and guitar player Gary Loris once said that he's not a very technical guitar player. He goes, man, I don't like technical guitar playing. He goes, man, I'm just into, what do you say? I'm into a feel, sloppiness, and tone.
That's
what I like. Guitar, organ, feel, sloppiness, and tone. So we got to aspire to that. Well, man, what are some other songs we could maybe do on our, we talked last week, mentioned jokingly, but now it's taking on a life of its own.
This is true.
With, you know, maybe doing an old REM song acoustically or some, you know, some song that maybe a lot of Texas music folks out there listen to the show, you know, maybe hear you on the radio or some of my stuff that, you know, we kind of say, hey, me and Parker did a couple of, you know, cover tunes, but we mentioned World Leader Pretend, kind of a deep album cut, REM, but a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool. And
yeah,
we're kind of kicking around some other ideas.
Yeah, maybe I think the Talking Heads idea could work.
Yeah.
I don't know which tune, but.
Yeah. We did, I told you we did Psycho Killer.
Yeah, you did that.
So we've cracked the door a little on that. Maybe it's time to just walk right through. What are some of those other bands? I wonder if we could pull off like a Radiohead song. Or is that too hip? That's too everybody knows about Radiohead.
I'm not very hip, so it can't be too hip.
No, we don't want to get too far out of our element.
But I would love to do a Radiohead
song. I was trying to think of just older 80s or 90s rock bands that, you know, maybe before some, you know, that they're kind of long forgotten in some sense. That you said, man, but that's a great song if you did it. With an acoustic guitar, you know, kind of more of a stripped down, you know.
Oh yeah.
Give it the 50 peso reward treatment, you know.
I was talking to you, last week. There's just so many tunes like you could make,
a big
records
list
of just, you know.
Well, hey, we will open this to the fans too, man. Text me an idea or email me phil@philpritchard.com. And say, hey, you know, you and Rodney Parker in a mishmash of the 50 peso reward and or the full band, you know, coming together to work on a couple of cover songs. Just don't send me the Rogues On Forever song. Not that we don't love it, okay? But, you know, something something obvious, something maybe Parker and I would have listened to in our younger day. You know, growing up a lot, not super commercial, something kind of
a little bit on the off, fringe.
A little bit on the fringe, bit on the fringe. REM's kind of a good band. I feel like you don't hear a lot about them these days.
You really don't.
Not like you did in the 90s or 80s, you know.
You know, it's funny to see what has happened to them. You know, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Just how you'd figure they would, like you said, be like U2 or something.
Yeah, they had so many huge albums and success, and I wonder why they... something tells me they lost the fire for it.
They might.
Maybe. When I see U2 playing at the Rose Bowl, I'm like, man, they still believe this stuff.
Yeah.
They still think, this is the best record they've ever made, their last one, and that they're saving the world, and this is, they're delivering it. And I think, I wonder if REM at some point was maybe too, I don't want to say cynical or maybe realistic that they just, you know, after some of them quit drinking and stuff, they're like, it's just BS. You know?
Oh,
and so they couldn't go on stage and kick over their amps with the Jack Daniels on it like they used to.
Right.
I mean, just kind of like, you know, they kind of, I don't know, they quit, they kind of quit buying into it maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all love music. I know they all still make their living. Peter Buck plays and the guitar player for REM. He produces and has played in like 8 different bands that... All kinds of, like Hoodoo Gurus way back with Warren Zevon. I think he was in that band. And, he's always doing some new project. He's doing something right now with the guy singer from Snow Patrol.
Okay.
He's singing and Buck's playing guitar and mandolin or something. They're doing some, I don't know. They go play a show in New York and one in L.A. and
call it
a tour.
Call it a tour.
Maybe that's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll just have
Nacogdoches, Lubbock, that's it.
That's
you know?
Right. That's our New York and L.A.
Where's your big markets? Where do you do well? Where do you do well?
We do really well in Lubbock, actually.
Do you really? Yeah, Blue Light. I see a lot lot of stuff on you guys.
And
there.
Amarillo.
Yeah.
We do well in Amarillo. And
what do y'all, just to play Golden Line up there?
Still playing Golden Line.
Yeah. How they? You know, we haven't been back in a long time.
Yeah, it's...
We almost got killed up there last time.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, we stayed at that, Fifth Seasons Hotel.
Yeah.
Which I'd stayed at many, many times. Uh-huh. But, dude, it's always a little shady, but it's free. You know, and I'm always real thankful for it. But, man, we were there, and there were some dudes in the hall right outside our door. Men who seemed ready for anything, man.
Just
a lot of harsh words, a lot of, I got my gun. And,
oh, no.
And kind of a fight broke out, and they were kind of hitting up against the door. And we were, it was before the gig.
Oh, no.
And the band was... Stu and Blue in the next room call me. They go, dude, these guys outside are, you know, we're scared to open the door and just kind of walk out. You know, I was kind of like, dude, I don't blame you. And so we coordinated it and said, man, let's just walk out together. One, two, 3, you know, we kind of pushed away. Sorry, guys. Sorry, you know, just,
right.
And then nothing happened, but we kind of, it was kind of, I go, man, I go get your bags. And so after the gig, we just said, man, where are we going to, I don't want to go pay 100, 200 bucks for a hotel. I just said, no, let's just drive home. So we just drove home 6 hours. I was like, yeah, the sun was just coming up. I had the coffee at Whataburger. I was just going to just go home.
Oh, man.
So that's what we did. I don't blame the Golden Life for that at all, but I was
sure.
Since then, it was kind of, it's been like that the last couple of times, but we always did good there. Mm-hmm. It's a fun place, man.
It is fun. It's
love it. Arcadia, what great people up there.
Oh, it is good people. And you know, it's, I don't know when the last time you were there was, but I guess it's not just a beer only place now. So like they're full liquor now.
You don't bring in your bottle like you used to.
Yeah, but wasn't that crazy? People walking around with handles of whiskey and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Is B Wall still there running sound?
B Wall's not running sound.
Guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, he's not running sound anymore. In fact, I haven't seen him in the past few times.
Yeah, I hope he's all right. I know he'd had struggling a little bit, but what a cool guy.
Oh, great guy.
That was where a famous Phil Pritchard gig years back. We met. I was playing on stage and. There was a large drunken guy with a handle of whiskey yelling, knew every one of my songs, requesting. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go talk to him right after it. Fans out there waiting for the punchline. It was none other than Ryan Leaf.
Was it
the
really?
Biggest bust in NFL history? Yes. Big Phil Pritchett fan.
That's awesome.
This was when he was coaching at Canyon. Right before he got busted for whatever he got busted for recently, but he was living up there, and I remember seeing it was right after that ESPN. They did an interview with him, and he was coaching college football at Canyon College and West Texas A&M.
Yeah,
and God, there he was, man. And he was the last dog to die. I mean, we were putting the amp in the car, his arm around me, just, you need to come to my ranch in Montana, man, write songs. I was like, okay, you know, I was just like, he goes, because he was a guitar player kind of guy. Uh-huh. But he knew his Phil Pritchett songs. That was
that's
impressive.
Cool. That's awesome.
It's kind of a snapshot of my career. You know, I mean, I know Pat Green is, he's just, you know, he's got a, I don't know, Troy Aikman coming to his gigs. you know, I'm sure Peyton Manning maybe has gone out to see Randy Rogers, or, you know. Who's at Phil's gig? Ryan Leaf. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well.
Well, I guess it's better than some.
Better than, you
don't have any celebrities at your gig? If you want to call Leaf a celebrity? Come on, you ever had anybody?
One time, we had Adam Sandler.
You're kidding.
We were playing in
That's
San...
big.
He was in Santa Fe just filming that Longest Yard movie.
Oh, yeah.
They filmed it
out
there.
They filmed it out there, yeah.
Yeah, and we were playing out there, and we were...
That brew company there?
And we were playing
in Santa Fe?
Yeah. It was a... I forget what it's called. Sisters or something?
But it's a bar when a festival.
It was a bar, okay. Yeah. And so we were just like one of these places where like you bring in your own PA. There's no stage, you just play on the floor.
Yeah.
And some people were just kind of sitting in chairs, and he was sitting like, you know, probably 5-10 feet from us, just watching us the whole time. And I remember kind of thinking like, that guy looks just like Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But I never thought much about it. And then afterwards, he came up and talked to us, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is Adam Sandler.
That's cool. Was he a pretty nice guy?
He was really nice. Yeah. But it was like him and like all those guys in that movie.
All those guys want you to know that they're into music, you know?
Yeah.
Leaf. Yeah. Or, yeah, they're like, hey man, I play guitar. You know, I don't know. I guess they appreciate.
Yeah,
they appreciate the arts, what you're trying to do, right?
Sure. But they, all those wrestler guys are there because they're all in that movie. Like,
oh, in the cast, yeah.
The big like WWF guys were all there, and they're giant, you know. And they're like hanging out, drinking beer and stuff. And then Zach Galindo, who's our guitar player,
right?
Who, you know, he's kind of a shorter guy. You know, he's playing he's, I just remember him like staring up at this giant wrestler and be like, "Oh, so you're a wrestler, huh? Well, I used to wrestle in high school." I think it's a little bit different.
The guy, pretty impressive of it. That guy's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Good job, that's awesome. Sandler, that's pretty good, man. Sandler, that's pretty good. Pretty good, dude. How'd y'all get that gig out there in Santa Fe? That's kind of cool.
Oh,
that's a long way.
Yeah, it is. We used to always play out there because
people don't realize how far that is from even like Amarillo. You know?
I know.
Well, that's up there. You're like, dude, it's a good 4 or 5 hours from there, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
So maybe closer to six.
Yeah, you play the Golden Light the night before.
And jump out there. And head
then
home.
Where do you go? Just go back through?
12 hours home. Yeah.
Yeah, back through Amarillo and home.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
We used to do that.
So y'all haven't done it. Y'all did do a lot of out-of-state stuff for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't really do that anymore, like I was telling you. You know.
Tired of sleeping on top of each other in the van.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. You know, just
coming home. You know,
broker than you've left.
Yeah. Podcast listeners know my crawl under the bed litmus test.
Oh, what's that?
It's just where I come home Saturday and go, you know, I've been to Amarillo, Lubbock, and Wichita Falls, and those gigs, and I came back. I just go, man, rather than doing that, I would have been better off just Thursday afternoon, just kissing my wife and children, crawl under the bed in the master bedroom, and remain there till Monday morning. Emerge, and I would be richer than I am.
That's awesome.
Just cut out everything that happened, and I would still have the $20 in my pocket that I had Thursday afternoon instead of negative $475 I now have. Just, I mean,
that's awesome.
How many times that, you know, that you do that enough times? Yeah, of course. The thing that gets us all, that gets you and me, God love us, is the guy. Those people that did come to see us in Santa Fe, drove in from Albuquerque, and they had all our records, and they had knew every song.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe we're coming to Mexico, and they made a 3-hour drive, and you're just like, but he's out there. We got to go back. We can't just leave him out there.
That's right.
He said, when are you coming back? I told him we'll be back in 2 or 3 months. We can't just say, you know, he's not worth it.
Right.
How can we, but I think, I don't know, this is kind of, maybe we can talk next week about the internet. Of course, in the old days, you did have to tour. You had to be there to sell him the CD. And I don't know, maybe now people feel like, man, I can follow him on Facebook. I can listen to his stuff and keep up with him without, you know, maybe. Maybe he can't drive all the way to play for me in Albuquerque, but that doesn't mean I'm not a fan. That doesn't mean he doesn't appreciate it. We don't communicate on some level.
I think so. I don't think you have to just, like, probably I can imagine, though, you know, back before the internet.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, it was just, you just lived in Austin. They wouldn't know about you in Denver unless you were coming to town. Right.
Unless you just beat it into their heads.
Sure.
Like, touring every 6 weeks or whatever. But yeah, I think it must be a lot different now, surely.
Hopefully so. We should only hope. Well, Rodney Parker is here, folks. I know you fans are thrilled about it, all you guys out there and ladies who love his music. You know, on the radio, go see him live. What's the website? Is it rodneyparker.com?
That's it.
rodneyparker.com. And his sweet mom works in the sticker place down here.
What's right.
The DMV? It's not the DMV.
It's the tax office. Yes.
I went in there to get my sticker for the van. She's like, yeah, my son's Rodney Parker. He's a musician too. I was like, I don't know, Rodney. This was a couple years ago.
You had a pick in your pocket or something?
I had a capo. I kind of digging for my license.
I know
she was demanding to see my insurance, you know, and I was like, oh, you know. No, but great, fun stuff up here in North Texas, man. North Texas best. Well, thanks for being here, Rodney.
Thanks for having me, Phil. I appreciate it.
You bet, man. Thank you, fans, for listening to this edition of the podcast. Now is the time I will spin around 3 times, blindfold myself, walk to the vault and grab a record, and we'll talk about it next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, bands, songwriters, folks who want to record and sound great and have a hell of a good time doing it, call me, 817-733-5256. We will record you here and have so much fun doing it. Or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Mention you heard it on the podcast. Let me know what's going on, what kind of record you're trying to make, what kind of recordings you're trying to do. Then get up here to Fort Worth, man. We got some places we can get you in, help you stay, help you hang out, and most of all, help you record. Get that product out there, living to fight another day. Thanks for listening, folks. Well, how about old Rodney Parker for dropping by again? Second week in a row, sharing with us his thoughts, ideas, his passions, his insecurities about the music business. So fun to have him here. He will be back next week, so look forward to that as we continue our conversations with Rodney Parker, an up-and-coming guy out there getting it done, playing shows. Got people coming in studio a lot saying, hey, man, I like that Rodney Parker album, man. Have you heard that? It's one of those names you hear about a lot these days. Good on you, man. Good on you. Well, we've got one of his favorite bands here and one of mine. Radiohead's man. Well, we talked about British culture. So what better than in the vault here to get some Brits on the air, man? So we're talking about the Bends. Now, this came, the first big Radiohead thing that I was, I'd heard the Bends, you know, and was conscious of it. But, you know, I don't push in a lot of chips early on a band. Never have. You know, one good album, yeah, I'm like, okay, I'll keep my little radar. I'll keep an antenna up. I'll keep a little, my nose in the breeze a little bit to kind of what these guys do after that. And then, man, you got to deliver the next time around. So the Bends was floating out there, and then they delivered with OK Computer, which was the last record. You ready for this? When was that? 94, 3, something like that? No, I guess 95, 96. That was the last record I think I went out and bought on CD. Came home, and I just kind of said, well, I'll just throw it in. And, dude, I sat on the couch and listened to that whole thing without stopping, all the way through, at my little place in Austin that I rented right after I got married, and was just blown away by the quality of it, the daring. There was just nothing like that at the time. I mean, it was out there, but it was got something so new and fresh, and the sounds and the wailing guitars, the singing, and you know, it was like listening. You hear people talking about listening to like Dark Side of the Moon or something. You know, just some album that's just so huge, so much bigger than itself. That's kind of the feeling I got listening to OK Computer. So I listened to that forever, and then really went back and got the Bends, which I had, or somebody I had lived with in college had it. And, you know, I had listened to it, enjoyed it, and went back and really listened to the Bends a lot. So this is one of their great records, too. This next song here is Brandon from Flickerstick. Remember Flickerstick? They were on the VH1 show, you know, where they're, what was it called? Meet the Band or Rock the Band or whatever. You know, about the band that gets signed and they follow them around in a van. Flickerstick from Fort Worth did it. And Brandon Lee, the lead singer, did a great version of this song. He'd come to some of my acoustic shows here in Fort Worth and do fake plastic trees.
The green plastic watering can for a fake Chinese rubber plant and a fake plastic girl. She bought from a rubber man in a town full of rubber plants to get rid of herself. The wears her out. The wears her out. that wears me out. And if I could be who you wanted, if I could be who you wanted all the time.
How you doing, folks? That's Radiohead. Fake Plastic Trees. Remembering my friend Brandon Lee, lead singer of Flickerstick, did a great version of that song. Takes a lot of balls to cover Radiohead. But he did it, and did it so well. Tom York, of course, lead singer for Radiohead, lead creative influence. But all of them are, man. What's the guitar guy's name? Johnny, is it Greenwood? I don't know. I don't have the Wikipedia page in front of me. But I think it's Johnny Greenwood or Greenberg or something like that. But man, cool guitar stuff. Just wizardry. Sounds. Craziness. They're one of those bands, man, you know, that they'll put out a record that nobody gets. That everybody's like, man, just scratching their head. Like, what is this? Then the next one just delivers, you know, in some great capacity. It's a band that, I mean, anyone, you know, people talk about Neil Young like that a lot. And that, you know, he'll throw out a record there that everybody just scratches their head and says, what the hell? But those are the great ones. The ones that try to put out the radio-friendly CD because they're scared of, you know, losing market share or something every record. So it starts to get dull. You know, it's like, man, it just sounds like the last record. You know, it sounds like the one before. It's only not as good. Some of these bands, I think, that are in it for the long haul would be better served to occasionally, you know, make an acoustic album. Make it one just, man, it's me and a keyboard in a cabin somewhere. You know, that only your fans are going to like and that they can go around and say, you just don't get it, man. Radiohead's definitely that kind of band, a music lovers band, and kind of occupy some rarefied air these days as we talk about, man, who's going to sell out arenas in the future, you know, without, you know, once all these dinosaur acts like Elton and McCartney and the Stones are all not touring anymore. But Radiohead was a 90s band, you know, a little before like some of these other acts, but they were kind of around to where they could, you know, sold tonnage of, you know, OK Computer, some of those other records, Kid A, and yeah, they really got out there a lot, so I think they'll sell out arenas. You know, they'll sell out at least American Airlines Center type venues for many years to come. So look forward to that. Well, Black Star is a great rocker on this album. Let's get into that right here, Radiohead.
I know all things are right.
Radiohead, Black Star. You know, another band that Radiohead gets thrown into, lumped in with a lot is Coldplay. You know, and people come up to me and say, hey, man, you like Coldplay? You know? Nah. They're kind of like Radiohead. I'm like, no, they're not like, they're nothing like Radiohead. You know what Coldplay is, man? And look, but this is rock and roll music, unattainableness that Radiohead goes for. Coldplay's never going to make a record like Kid A or something that makes you scratch your head. You know, you take Radiohead, you take what you'd be listening to here, just take off the balls, take off the artistry, and you got Coldplay. Enjoy! Just heat and serve! Well, well, well! I'm going to end it with that caustic opinion there. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. All your comments are always read and always appreciated. Send them on and come here to the studio to record. 817-733-5256. Call that number for the studio and to book Phil Pritchett and the full band. We're in the middle of playing so many private parties and stuff in the spring, summer, going to people's house, just playing out on the deck, playing a ranch party, playing a wedding. We do it all the time. You'll deal with me. Just shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. I'll get right back to you within 24 hours. Say, hey, man, we got the date open or we don't or whatever. So feel free to do that. All right. Thank you to Rodney Parker for coming by once again. Rodney, sounding good, man. We'll talk to you again next week. And folks, look forward to the podcast coming again next week. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. We're going to leave you with more Radiohead here, playing it out. This is the very last song on the record. Street Spirit. Street Spirit. Man, what a creepy but cool little guitar signature here going out. Enjoy it, Radiohead. We'll see you next week on the podcast, folks. Much tougher.
Rows of houses all bearing down on me. I can feel the blue hands touching me. Oh, these things in superposition. Oh, these things will one day swallow whole. Before we all go under.